Hello and welcome to the Marlena program. This is the program for the week of May 21st, 2007. Oh, what a week we've had here. My goodness, we had one 85-degree day, and now it's back to being 50s and cold and rainy and yucky. But I have a wonderful guest tonight who, whenever I think of my guest, I always think of a smile, because she truly is a woman who has a smile in her voice. But she's here tonight to talk about not her or her voice, which you will hear before the end of the show, I might add, her singing voice. But she's here tonight to talk about Guide Dog Users Incorporated, GDUI. Bring in the president of GDUI and make welcome Sheila Styron. Hey, Sheila, welcome.
Hi, Marlena. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you. We haven't really done this. I think we missed last year. So I'm glad we made it this year.
I don't know how that happened, but I know that I did it summer before last.
That's right. That's right. And I'm glad you made it back this year. You know, before we get started with the convention program and so forth, let me just do a wee little bit of housekeeping, and then I want to ask you about GDUI itself. If you are listening to this program at any time between the hours of 9 and 10 Eastern, 6 and 7 Pacific in North America, or if you're crazy enough to be up at 1 Universal on a Monday morning, the other times are Sunday nights, of course, in North America, you're listening live. And after a while, we will have the telephone open, and Sheila will be taking your calls. If you're listening at any time other than Sunday night in North America or Monday morning in UTC land, this is a repeat, and please put your feet up and enjoy the program. The telephone number to call, of course, is 866-666-7926. Well, Sheila, tell us about GDUI. What is GDUI?
It's a really fun group. GDUI is so multifaceted. You know, I've had a couple of other opportunities to talk about GDUI this week, and there's so much to say, and I keep trying it in different orders, and it's really hard to know which is the best part of GDUI or what is the easiest way for people to understand all of the things that GDUI does. But GDUI is an affiliate of the American Council of the Blind, and almost all the people in GDUI are people who are partnered with guide dogs. I don't know how familiar everybody in our listening audience is. So I'll start by saying that. And we do all kinds of things in GDUI, because guide dog handlers are as different in their needs and in their levels of experience working with guide dogs as the kids in a kindergarten class. You've got the precocious ones and the ones that are a little bit less advanced. And we do fun things together. We help people with their problems. Believe it or not, in 2007, guide dog users still have access problems. We help with that. We help legislatively. We work on the state and the national level, changing the laws of the country, local jurisdictions, state laws. We do wonderful things together as an organization. No, we'll talk about the convention later. We have 5 days of exciting guide dog-related activities at the ACB convention every summer, our sort of our own GDUI mini-convention inside the rest of the convention. We have a fabulous quarterly publication that is currently in all kinds of audio formats called Paw Tracks, where we have interviews and articles and fun things about guide dogs and informative things about guide dogs. We have two wonderful listservs in GDUI, one that is for more formal GDUI business, one that is just guide dog chat related type topics. We have some benefits that you can get discounts on if you're a GDUI member. We just recently got a travel website through Artist Bays and Global Travel Trends, where if you book travel on this website, GDUI gets a little kickback. We're partnering with the people who make Trekker and selling the Trekkers at a discounted rate if you're a GDUI member. Boy, I could just go on and on.
Wow.
We have so much stuff, you know, going on. And I think that, you know, one of the real benefits of being a GDUI member, and you can even share this benefit if you're not a member, but we, of course, want you to be a member, is just the camaraderie and the personal networking with other guide dog handlers, all the information that you can get. We have up on our website a guide dog school survey where you can learn a lot of interesting things about the various guide dog training programs that are out there. You can search by question or search by school, and well, gosh, it's just, I could go on. We have empathizer services. You can talk to anybody about any guide dog related issues you might have. We have a toll-free number for that. We have toll-free numbers for advocacy issues. We're just in the process of getting signed up with a new phone service, but we're going to keep our basic GDUI number for a while so that people aren't bereft without their familiar GDUI number. And that number is 888-858-1008, and our website is www.gdui.org.
Well, that certainly is just a plethora of experiences, benefits, information, and really GDUI is probably one of the most active affiliates, and I don't want to make anybody else mad at me. This is just my opinion. You have quite a large membership.
Yeah, we do. I'm not exactly sure where we're at right now. 1,400, 1,500 maybe. I haven't checked with Jane recently on that. I think that our membership will be going up even higher once we can join online, and we're in the process of looking at revamping our website a little bit so that people will be able to donate money to GDUI and join online. That's not quite happening yet. But to join, you can call our treasurer, Jane Sheehan, at that number that I listed earlier, 888-858-1008. And besides just joining GDUI, something I haven't mentioned yet is that GDUI has many affiliates around the country, local state affiliates. And we can have one state affiliate, and then within those affiliates, cities, people band together in different areas within state affiliates and have little GDUI affiliate chapters. For instance, we've just started the Heartland Guide Dog User Group in the Missouri, Kansas area, and we have a very active group of people here in Kansas City who get together and hike and do all kinds of things. We've been to Starlight Theater with our dogs, you know, 7 or 8 of us at a time. We go to restaurants. We hiked about 3 miles today, some of us, and ended up at a fun restaurant called McCoy's in Westport Road, which is a real hangout place here in Kansas City. We've been to the ball game with our dogs. We have done like a trolley trail run for charity, a bunch of us with our dogs. So we really do have a very active little GDUI group right here in Kansas City.
Yes, and I was going to mention that the state affiliates as well and brag a little bit. You may recall that I started the GDUWS in Washington State, and we now have at least, and I think maybe a little over 50 members.
Oh, wow.
And I think, and I'm not sure about this, but I'm so excited to say it, I think that GDUWS is the largest Washington Council of the Blind affiliate. So
that
those
is cool.
Dogs really bring people in. That's
yeah,
they sure
the
do.
Dogs rule. Dogs rule.
The dogs rule.
All about the dogs.
That's right. That's right. Let's talk about the convention. What is up with GDUI this year?
Well, I'm so excited about the program that Donna Permar and her convention committee pulled together. Donna Permar is from North Carolina, and she's GDUI's second vice president and our program chair. Very, very fortunate GDUI is to have Donna in this role, because she's so together, so on top of everything. On Sunday afternoon, July 1st, well, actually, the GDUI suite will be getting set up on Saturday, and on Sunday afternoon, people will be able to pick up their dog food at the... Oh, you hear a little barking? That's not my guide dog. Those are neighbor dogs.
I was going to say, have you got a pocket dog as a guide?
Yes, my guide chihuahua. They're cute little dogs, but they're not guide dogs. But anyway, we'll have... you can pick up dog food. There are two sources for getting dog food listed in the Braille form if people want to... I could look up a phone number if we want for one of the dog food sources for this call. We will have hotel and surrounding orientation on Sunday afternoon, one at 12 noon and one at 5, and anybody who's interested can meet at the GDUI suite and team up with guide dog instructors and walk around outside the hotel, kind of get the lay of the land. We sort of suggest that people use the instructors to learn their way around sort of the area, since there are so many volunteers to help inside the hotel. But
sure,
you can pretty much do that however you want to do it, really. The instructors kind of take the lead of the groups of people, you know, who want to go out walking with them. They'll usually form up into small groups and with different focuses on things. And Sunday afternoon at 2:15, we'll have our GDUI affiliate roundup meeting, and that is the time when all of the presidents of the affiliates and the delegates will meet together and get credentialed for voting at the GDUI business meeting on Tuesday. And they will also have a chance to talk about how their year has gone with their affiliates. And I imagine Washington will be there bragging.
I hope
what
so.
What a good job they're doing.
I think we will.
And also to kind of, you know, express affiliate needs. You know, how can GDUI do... do more for the affiliates? How can we function better as an organization? And we'll have a chance for people to talk about some of that. And then the GDUI board meeting will be from 4 to 6. And we are usually in a small room, but there's usually room for some visitors if anybody would like to come and sit in on that. Then Monday through Thursday morning from about 7 a.m. to 8:15, we'll have the GDUI Breakfast Club, which we've been doing for the past 3 or 4 years. It's been very fun and successful. There might be as many as 30 or 40 people who show up, or there might be just a little group of 5 people, and we walk en masse to a local restaurant. This year in Minneapolis, it's a place called Hell's Kitchen. I was there in March, and oh my gosh, it is so delicious. The food there, it's not a really inexpensive little hole in the wall. It's a foodie place. It's very good. This area where we're going to be at the Hyatt in the Millennium is a very beautiful, kind of a, you know, an upscale downtown area, and you're not gonna find a lot of hole in the wall places there. So this is a really great foodie place that I sampled some porridge when I was there.
Oh.
I mean, I don't even really know what porridge is or didn't, but this is just this mouth-watering combination of these crunchy ingredients.
Yeah.
And so healthy tasting. And
oh, yum.
I'm telling you, and the coffee there was to die for. They make the best coffee. There's a lot. They make their own peanut butter.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I mean, this is a real eating paradise in the Hell's Kitchen.
Now,
we'll do that.
How far from the hotel is this?
It's about 3 blocks. Like, the hotels are around 13th, and you walk to 10th Street and then turn right, and... I have my north and my south backwards in my mind right now, so I'm not going to say that. But I do know you walk from 13th to 10th, and then you turn right. And the restaurant is a little bit down the block on that same side of the street.
Oh, that sounds
very
wonderful.
Easy. And then Monday afternoon, we have our GDUI house. keeping at, I guess we start at 1:30 on Monday afternoon, just sort of the rules of the game announcements for the week. And then our first presentation will be from Guiding Eyes for the Blind. Becky Barnes and Shannon Walsh will be presenting a really interesting program on responsible guide dog handling and ethics. We'll cover some of the basics that that you know you would expect, you know, taking care of your dog, picking up after your dog. But we're going to have a discussion of I think some of the more complicated issues we face as guide dog handlers, some of the, you know, the harder truths and the things that people need to talk about and things that may be difficult to hear. And I know that Becky and Shannon will do a wonderful job guiding us through that. Then after that, we'll have the ever-famous Guide Dog School update.
Wow.
We used to do them in the evenings, but now they're going to be after that panel at 3:30 or so, I believe. And then Monday evening, we're going to have a walk along Nicollet Mall. For the past 4 or 5 years, we've done a walk. We've tried to do one at all the conventions. And Nicollet Mall, which is the name of the road and the shopping area where our hotels are in Minneapolis, is a very nice place to walk. And last year, I think we had 55 people signed up for this walk.
Wow.
It is getting really popular. So we'll see. That's from approximately 8 to 9 Monday evening, Tuesday morning breakfast club again. And then our first presentation Tuesday afternoon will be program by Jay Stitely from The Seeing Eye. I don't know if you're familiar with Jay.
Oh, he is sure.
A very,
sure.
Very witty, very entertaining guy.
Absolutely.
And he'll be giving us tips on airport travel with a guide dog. And Jay's certainly done his share of traveling, so I think people will find that pretty informative. Then we'll have the GDY business meeting, and we have a couple of board positions up for re-election. And then we'll have our GDUI caucus that's the opportunity for all of the candidates who will be running for ACB office to come and try to enlist votes from GDUI members. And then after that, not a GDUI event, but one of my favorite things at the convention, the Guiding Eyes Wine and Cheese Gala.
Oh, yours and mine.
I love that one. And that's at 5 o'clock. And then that evening, we will be having GDUI's second annual auction. And it's a chance to raise your paws up high in the air for a very good cause. And last year and this year again, we're having Brian Charlson as our auctioneer. And we made $5,000 last year. It was very exciting.
Holy moly.
And HumanWare donated a Trekker last year, and I got them to donate another one this year. And my husband is making some fancy, not fancy, but really great utilitarian leather dog collars that can be used in 5 different ways. They're very cool.
Wow.
And we've got jewelry donations. I don't know if we have any travel yet, but we've got some great prizes, great things coming up at the auction. And hopefully we'll do well like we did last year. Last year, a lot of people donated jewelry, and we were just fighting over. We had some things like a matching dog necklace, a dog collar and human necklace.
Oh,
you know,
that, wow.
And everybody
yeah.
was, I want that, I
yeah.
want that, I want that. We had a great time. We decided that we would have it at night this time so that we could have a cash bar and really be festive. And so we hope people will come out and support GDUI and have a great time
now,
at that.
Now, if people want to donate something to that auction, how would they do that? Can they bring it with them?
Well, if they really do want to do that, we were sort of trying to keep it. But if anybody has something great they want to, I would suggest contacting Donna Permar. And probably the best, easiest way for me to tell you to get in touch with her would be D Permar, P-E-R-M-A-R, at GDUI.org.
Okay.
So that would probably be the easiest thing to do, or contact me if you want. Probably another easy address is president at GDUI.org. the rail ones are so much harder.
Yes.
Donna's work address. I've been writing her for years, and I still don't know that address.
Yeah,
so I won't even attempt to make anybody on the radio get that.
Yeah.
It'd be a waste of our airtime.
Well,
we probably do have a couple of real great memories out there, but I'm not among that group.
Neither am I.
So that's the auction. That'll be a lot of fun. And then Wednesday morning breakfast club again. And then our GDY luncheon this year, we have another great speaker. We have a person who is quite famous in the dog training world. Her name is Patricia McConnell. She happens to be from Wisconsin, and she waived her speaker's fee for us, and she's coming in to talk to us about emotions and us and our dogs, and she has written some really wonderful books, and she is just, you know, just a person who is such a positive speaker. You said you thought I had a smile in my voice. I think Patricia McConnell does, and she is just going to be a wonderful speaker. We've got people from Minneapolis, other volunteers, and other dog people who want to come to our luncheon because they want to hear Patricia McConnell. So
that's great.
Pretty exciting. So if you want to come to our luncheon, I guess they can give us a bigger room. You know, we may end up having to have the ACB banquet room for our luncheon. We'll see. Then after lunch, we have another really great program. We have Michelle Pouliot from Guide Dogs for the Blind, who is going to be doing a presentation on clicker training. Clicker training is a form of positive training that GDB has actually been working on incorporating some of these new positive training techniques since 2001. So that's why Michelle is coming to speak to us about this, because they actually are doing it in class now with students. They've been doing food rewards for a while, and they're now actually teaching people to use the clicker. And for anybody who doesn't know what a clicker is, they come in different shapes and varieties, but they're really just versions of those little cricket things we used to play when we were little kids.
That's right.
That little clicker noise. And what you do, just in one or two sentences, is when your dog has done something that makes you happy that you want it to do, first you teach the dog that the clicker is a good thing. You click and then you give it a treat. You click and then you give it a treat. So then when the dog does something that you're very happy with, as quickly as you can after it has made you happy, you click and then the dog knows, oh, I did a good thing and a treat is coming. And so she's going to talk to us about that. And then at 5:30 to 7:30, we're going to have a hands-on clicker training workshop where instructors from some of the schools who are working with clicker training and who have experience will be actually working with people in small groups and one-on-one to teach them how to do this, because it's one thing to hear about it in a lecture, but it's good to, you know, to have a little hands-on experience. So we'll be doing that.
Now, I want to interrupt you for a second.
Sure.
Because I have a question and a comment about clicker. I'm a devoted clicky.
Yes, I'm a clickerette.
Clickerette. That's better. Yes, I'm a devoted clickerette, and I went to the clickertraining.com website and got the little small one that really I can hold it kind of under my fingers while I'm still holding the harness, and I have it attached to the leash, and it has just worked miracles for Agnes, who is only new since October. So we had some of it in class, of course. But my question is, if one can only come to Michelle's presentation and can't come to the secondary, the follow-on presentation, is that acceptable?
Oh, sure. The Michelle's is the background and all of the intellectual side of it and all of the thought processes and the theory. And we're not recommending that people do it the other way. We're recommending that people do come to Michelle's, but they don't have to do the hands-on workshop. But if they want to do the hands-on workshop, we're saying please come to Michelle's first, or only come if you're experienced.
Right.
Because we want people to understand the basics and have a little background before they come and do the,
well,
the workshop.
It's an amazing
thing. I don't really think
thing.
There's anything dangerous about clicker training, but you can probably then, if you can't come to that second workshop, or the only workshop, you know, if you can only come to the, probably, I bet you could hook up with a trainer.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Just go to the, you know, all the guide dog schools will have booths in the exhibit hall, and I bet you can just go and, you know, have a little private session with somebody.
Well, for anyone who has not tried it, I've been a guide dog user for over 40 years, and there is nothing that has taken me in those 40 years of training changes, improvements, sometimes maybe not improvements, but nothing that I have seen that works like this clicker training deal does. And I really urge folks to come and learn about that, because it will change how you interact with your dog.
Oh, it's just the best. There's no question. I think I've always been a closet positive trainer at heart, and and I had I had a couple of really rough dogs at the beginning, and I did what I had to do, but it never made me happy
to
be tough on a dog.
No.
And with this kind of positive interaction with your dog, you just feel lighter, you feel happier. The dog, everybody thinks go faster, the learning, because you want to learn, you want to be positive, the dog is so happy. I don't want to spend too long on this, but oh my gosh, I went to a positive training workshop up in Minnesota, because I was able to combine getting to do that activity that Minnesota Guide Dog Users put together earlier in March, with also checking out the hotel and scoping out some things for GDUI. And I came home all fired up again, because I just got to be a clickerette for, a day and a half. And I decided I was going to teach my kitten how to play the piano. So here I am sitting up here at the piano with the clicker and the treats, and I'm clicking it up above the keys, and whenever the cat touches the key, I click and I give him a treat. And, he's not quite as interested in it as the dog, He is a little, but, my dog, my guide dog, my fifth guide dog sitting on the floor, Gretchen, she's sitting on the floor and she's watching. And finally, it's almost like I could see the frustration on her face. She just got up and jumped her front paws up on the piano. Here, Rocky, it's like this. Crash. So she learned how to play the piano from watching Rocky get clicked and treated.
That's
and she just
funny.
Got sick of watching. It was like a little kid's like, no, give it to me, Fred. I'll show you how to do it.
Well, I could talk about this subject for hours,
and I'm just
going to say that I found, and maybe you actually you probably are aware of them, since you went to the Minnesota Guide Dog clicker training event, but I used those Charlie Bear treats. Oh my gosh, they are so healthful for the dogs, and they're all natural treats, and they're just little bits of kibble, and they don't get all crummy in your pocket. And they're real good.
Yeah,
they're real good.
Wonderful. All right, one more question, then we must move on.
Right.
I know we simply must. Did you say you got a clicker does it have Velcro, or do you tie it?
No. What I did, and it's an imperfect system. I'm still working on refining it. But what I did was I put it through the shortest length of the leash. It comes on a key ring. And I put it through the shortest length of the leash. And when I close the, when I shorten the leash and pick up the harness, I just make sure that it is under my fingers.
Good deal. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
When it slides down, it can only hit the ring on the leash, which is right near my hand. So even if I don't feel like hanging on to it, it's right there and I can click it. So, we've got to talk at convention.
Yeah, we'll just talk about that.
I even have a purse that I recommend so that you can get your Charlie Bears out quickly.
Oh, we are going to have to see everybody's going to have to see everybody's clicker stuff.
I know it. I know it.
Oh, gosh.
All right, back to the program.
All right, well, after the fabulous clicker training, we're even calling our workshop. We took Michelle's, the name of her presentation is called Click on This, is what
I love
name of our GDUI workshop.
Click on this.
So then Wednesday night, really also great, even as good as clicker training, we're having another round of Jeopardog.
Oh, that
now,
is so
I cannot
fun.
Remember which convention we had Jeopardog at, 3-4 years ago, maybe.
I think it was Pittsburgh. Didn't we start it in, I mean.
I don't remember. Yeah. I just know that I have not laughed or screamed so much in my life. It was just hilarious. We were in teams and we were just, people were just uproarious. And I know some people who were supposed to go have dinner with people and they didn't go. They couldn't leave. They were having too much fun and they got out of their dinner things. It was just too, I mean, it was so much fun. We had a great time. So we're doing Jeopardog again this year. It's one of those things that you don't want to do it every year, just like you don't want to watch Gone with the Wind too many times because you don't want to wear out, you know, you want there to be a little bit of freshness to it. You don't want to chant along like the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Exactly.
But, so we're bringing back Jeopardog and Lisa Salinger I've just gone blank. Maya Scott are doing that for us, and that should be a lot of fun.
I remember the year Mike Moran and I did it, and I'm going to ask you to hold on while we have a couple of words, and we'll be right back with Sheila Styron, president of GDUI. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Marlena. Have you been listening to ACB Radio for a while and wonder how you can help? Well, there's a Donate to ACB Radio link now available from the main page at www.acbradio.org. And thank you so much for listening to ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. You're listening to Marlena at the mainstream of acbradio.org and WTNDLP Macomb 106.3 FM. And our guest tonight is Sheila Styron, who is president of GDUI. And Sheila, I'm going to shut up and let you talk about the program some more. And I think we'll ask Gary to go ahead and open the line since we're a little bit past half the hour. Just, you have so much to say.
Oh, yes, it's just flowing tonight, isn't it? Anyway, we are almost done with the program, though, because we've made it to Thursday morning. We had Jeopardog Wednesday evening, and then Thursday morning is our last official breakfast club. It doesn't mean we can't go on Friday, but that's our last official. And then Thursday afternoon, we're having a sort of a serious presentation. Unfortunately, sometimes guide dog teams are the victim of dog attacks. And this is just something that you just really don't want to think about and you don't want it to happen.
No.
But sometimes people, their dogs do get attacked. Sometimes it's serious. Sometimes it's not too bad. But unfortunately, one of the things that happens is when something really awful happens, you kind of freeze up and you don't know what to do. And maybe looking back, you go, I should have, I could have. So we're having a presentation on what to do in the event of a dog attack, and the presenter will be Emily Simone, who's a field rep from Guide Dogs for the Blind, and she will be presenting information about how to pull yourself together when it happens, what you should do, what you should expect from the police, the things you need to take into consideration. She also will talk about how you can be proactive in your community to educate the law enforcement and animal control about what their responsibilities are in case of, you know, of a dog attack, because many people just treat it like an animal control issue, you know, oh, well, it's no big deal. We'll send somebody out in 3 days. And that really isn't the case. So Emily will do a really informative presentation on that. And as unpleasant as it is, I think it's something that we all need to think about and hear. And then for our very, very final presentation, we're doing a really fun thing. Something that's very popular around the country with pet owners is called the Canine Good Citizen Test, CGC. And this is a test that has 10 parts to it, and it basically puts your dog through paces with people and other dogs, kind of a meet and greet type of thing that I think our guide dogs should be pretty good at doing.
I bet they will.
So we hooked up with the Twin Cities Obedience Training Club, and they're going to come and they're going to administer 25 of these tests. So it's kind of a first come, first serve thing. We are charging for this event, and I think it's $20 pre-reg, and we're going to be splitting the proceeds between GDUI and the Twin Cities Obedience Training Club. And I think it's going to be a really fun event. And you can read about this test online if anybody wants to know, you know, what it entails. But there are things, you know, where you walk up to people face-to-face and your dog has to sit, your dog has to walk with you through a crowd. And they're going to modify it a little bit for us so that we can do it with our dogs in harness. I'm going to meet with the director of training, and we're going to go through it all during the week, and it will be altered just a little bit, but all of the basic principles will be intact. And so we think that'll be sort of a fun, good doggy way to end all of the GDUI convention activities. So I know that there is so much to do at an ACB convention, but we hope that many of you will join GDUI, you know, for some of our events. We'd love to see you.
Now, people do not have to be a member to come to these events. Is that the case?
No, no. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can just, you know, some of the ticketed events are all in pre-reg.
Yeah.
And then the other ones people can find out about by going up to visit us at www.gdui.org. We have a list of all of our scheduled events that otherwise you wouldn't get a chance to see until they come out in the program, because they're not ticketed events. But anybody can come and do any of these things if they're not sold out.
Oh, that's perfect. The phone lines are open. Sheila will be with us for another 20 minutes, give or take. The telephone number is 866-666-7926. Lots of S's there.
Yeah.
And I know if I ever don't have front teeth, boy, would I have a problem. I think about that a lot. I want to ask you a couple of sort of good citizen, guide dog good citizen convention questions.
Okay.
I actually had a discussion with a good friend of mine who uses a guide dog. I don't know, I think it was a couple of years ago. And this individual said, when I go to convention, I'm on vacation and I am not cleaning up after my dog. I'm on vacation. What's your response to that?
Well, I think that's terrible. A person can never be on vacation like that with a guide dog. It's one of the basic responsibilities that we have as guide dog handlers to be socially appropriate with our dogs. We have access to hotels and all of the grounds because we are disabled and only entitled to have our guide dogs with us. If we are responsible, legislation on all levels, says that we need to be responsible for our dogs and socially appropriate. And, you know, not only is it just bad citizenship for this person themselves, but they're also giving everyone else a bad name and causing, you know, a lot of trouble for the people who have to clean it up. Or what if it, I hate to talk about this stuff, but what if it gets tracked around? There are going to be a lot of blind people there who can't see what they're doing. And, you know, it's just really unconscionable. And this is, you know, one of the things that, you know, we may talk about or that may be talked about at the program that Becky and Shannon will be presenting on Monday afternoon. It's not just pick up after your dog, but it's all the ramifications. And how can we as guide dog handlers be more proactive, you know, about setting good examples for others and what are appropriate ways that we can address these issues with other people. With, you know, sometimes it's really hard to tell somebody bad news, you know, to be confrontational, and maybe, you know, there are some ways that we can gain courage, you know, to go down that road and talk to people about these things. You know, and another thing along the lines of what you're talking about there is the protocol for taking your dog out. Remember, convention is really a big, exciting deal, and everybody isn't in their home environment. And some people may have a lifestyle where they don't leash relieve their dog very often. And you really do need to plan the time to take your dog out. It's not only important, you know, that you do clean up if your dog has an accident or even in the relieving area, but that you take your dog out maybe more than you would at home.
Yes,
stay
absolutely.
Out a little bit longer. I've been talking to I was talking to several people last year about when accidents took place and if there were any patterns, and it was thought that later at night that if people could take their dogs out later, you know, late at night, don't forget to take them out and take a little extra time, and maybe when you first get up in the morning, have some clothes that are real easy to put on and get your dog out really quickly in the morning, because there seem to be more accidents in the morning. So if you can take your dog out late at night and also in the morning first thing, it might help cut down on accidents and also on your dog's discomfort. I mean, just think if, you know, you're in a strange place too, like the dog is out of its usual routine, and just think how you'd feel if you really had to go to the bathroom and you didn't know where the bathroom was and you weren't allowed to go there by yourself, or you didn't have anyone taking you to the bathroom.
Yeah, I mean,
it sounds a little hokey, but it's really true.
No,
it's
I don't think it's true. I don't think it's hokey at all.
I think the people, you know, everybody's so excited about convention and they get just all wrapped up in themselves and in their friends, and people just have to try harder to remember your poor guide dog's needs, you know, its relieving needs when you're at the convention.
See, I always think of my guide dog as having a 2-year-old child, and my 2-year-old child, you know, whether I'm at home or I'm at a convention, that child still needs mom's attention or dad's attention, and I feel pretty strongly about that. Now, I want to ask you another question. This happened to me last year. Oh, gosh, I got so irritated. And, of course, I didn't say anything because, you know, maybe this is just my thing. But I'm just curious to know your opinion. And I'm not necessarily asking on behalf of GDUI, but if you want to answer for you or GDUI, I don't care. But really irks me. Oh, boy. Oh, I'm getting boiled up just thinking about it.
I can't wait.
Oh. It really, really irks me when people come steam barreling down the hall with a dog and they crash into you and they go, sorry, and just keep on going. Oh, my gosh. That, you know, I feel like if, first of all, you shouldn't be walking that fast if you can avoid it. Now, I know sometimes we're in a hurry and I know that. But if Agnes crashes me into you, I'm at least going to stop, put her at sit, and say to her, watch out. And I see so many people who don't do that, and it just, whoa, it irritates me. And I just wonder if what you think about that. Is that part of being a good citizen and helping your dog?
Well, absolutely. I mean, people should really be courteous. That's just basic human courtesy, whether you bump into somebody with a cane or with a dog. I mean, I've had, you know, people also with canes just kind of come along, and it's like almost just sort of rubbing up against me instead of, you know, really stopping and trying to give me my space and move to the left. It's almost like if they push on me hard enough, I'm going to get out of the way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I sometimes think it's almost good nobody's there to yell at us in person. I really don't mean to be offensive, but I sometimes think that at conventions, people do think, here we are amongst a lot of other blind people, and we really can kind of let our hair down. And I think that happens in good ways and in bad ways. And some people do just get really inconsiderate with their politeness about moving around, whether it be with a cane or a dog, and with their raising of voices, yelling at people across crowded rooms. And those are just common courtesy things that I think people shouldn't do, whether they're at convention, or should watch out for, whether yeah. they're at convention yeah. or whether they're just going to work in a regular, normal, everyday environment. There are other things that people do at convention. I know they're nervous. For instance, one of my pet peeves, and I feel so sorry for dogs, when you're in a really, really crowded room and you're way far away from an elevator or outside, somebody will just be standing there with their dog or walking with their dog going, find the elevator, find the elevator, find the elevator, find the elevator.
Yeah,
outside,
yeah.
Outside,
yeah,
outside,
yeah,
outside.
Yeah.
You know, our dogs operate in a contextual environment, and repeating something like that will just numb a dog's brain, and especially when they're not near the thing that they need to be near. You know, it doesn't make much sense to say outside to a dog when you've got to go through several doors on the inside before you even get, you know, to a place where a dog can go outside.
Yeah.
And these are just things that I wish people would think about, what it must be like to hear a dog and all of, I guess you'd sort of say, the radio static that they have to put up with from us. Things that we chatter on about that they don't really know what we're talking about.
Yeah, and you know, if people could imagine living in a world of giants, that's what our dogs do. You know, we're all so much taller than these dogs, and we get, oh my gosh, we get on these crowded elevators, and we, oh my God, I wouldn't want to be my dog for anything. I tell you, you know, because...
Is Agnes another little girl?
Yes, she is. She's a little tiny girl. She's a cross.
Uh-huh.
She's a little golden retriever, yellow lab cross.
Oh.
And she's red.
Oh.
And her birthday is her birthday is the day after Valentine's Day, which
oh,
I
very
love
sweet.
Because she's red
yeah.
like Valentine's. So
very cute.
She's you'll meet her. She's very sweet, and she thinks that it's all about Agnes.
Well, it is actually.
Well, it is,
or it should be. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you. Let me just say again, the lines are open, and fear not, Sheila, because I've had many programs where people haven't called, and when that first used to happen to me, I used to think, oh my gosh, we're failing. And then I get email afterwards, people said, I was too interested to call. So
well,
that's...
We're just shooting off so much information that they think...
Absolutely are.
You're doing fine with the questions, so this
well,
is good.
Well, I have lots of them, and so we'll just roll on here. But if people do want to call, the number is 866-666-7926. Where do you see GDUI in 5 years? What's kind of your vision for GDUI?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean... I think we're doing a lot of wonderful things. I would just like to do a lot of them bigger and better. You know, we have some good people who do some fine work for GDUI. We need more people to come forward, new blood, people with talents in all kinds of areas. We do advocacy. I wish, you know, we had, you know, the money to pay a staff person to even, you know, be able to do it better and more thoroughly with still committee help. I wish, you know, we're looking at, we're upgrading our website right now. One of the things I would like to do in the future, I just feel like I work very hard for GDUI, but I feel like I'm only doing 1/100th of what needs to be
yeah,
done.
Yeah.
There are just so many hours in the day. I'd like to, you know, get involved more in hunting out grants for specific projects. For instance, I'd like to fund getting all of PawTrack's what's the word, transcribed into, you know, a print format so that it would be more, a little less scary or daunting for sighted people, but particularly so that it would be available for our deafblind members. Right now, we've had just some parts of it transcribed. I would also like for that grant to fund, or some grant to fund, going back and going into the PAHTRAC archives and getting it all transcribed, because such a huge wealth of information through the years. It would be great if we could just pay somebody to transcribe every PAHTRAC ever, on cassette.
Let me just also say that we just had a caller, but they hung up. So if the caller would like to call back, we will take your call.
We promise we'll stop talking. We'd love to talk to you.
If this caller calls back, I'll say, Sheila, hush.
Shut up, Sheila.
Hey, that's got a ring to it. Shut up, Sheila.
Shut up. See what's it? Yeah, it does. I think somebody must have said that before.
Oh my gosh. 866-666-7926 is the number. Sheila Styron is the guest for the first hour. Let me just also let folks know that in the second hour, we're going to be joined by Nola McKinney, who is the chair of the ACB Awards Committee. And, I have received one of those awards. Boy, that was a happy time of my life. I couldn't believe it that I was getting this award, Nola would like to come on and share kind of what that committee does, and so we'll be talking with Nola. And here's our call, or a call. Let's bring them on in. Hi there, who's this?
Hi, this is Carol Edwards, down in Texas.
Carol Edwards, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you all?
Oh, just great.
Guide Dog Users of Texas.
Yes. I was just going, I actually was the caller, but I've never called in, so I didn't know if I was... if I had hit the right number or what, when I just heard you all talking.
Well, you sound right, Carol. You sound just right.
Yeah, I think you sound just fine, ma'am.
Well, I just wanted to say, first of all, I think, I love the Marlena show, but Sheila does a great job as president of Guide Dog Users Incorporated. I don't know if Sheila has seen the article, but we were real pleased today. There was a incident back in March, I believe it was, when a gentleman was denied access to ride in a limo, and we had a very good article that appeared in the Houston Chronicle about his plight of something that should have been cleared up so quickly that's dragged out quite a while. And
it's a wonderful article.
Yeah, and we're real excited, and we're also, we're ready if they ever do get into court, the Guide Dog Users of Texas folks, and hopefully some of the people from ACB of Texas that, or in the Houston chapter, will be ready to go to the court and show support for Carl and his friend Joe if necessary, because it's become a major thing for us to get cleared up. You know, we try to think that we're friendly and hospitable people here, and to think that they were treated in such a shabby manner has been really, really irritating.
It was a cab limo denial thing, Marlena.
Well, and they have an ordinance in Houston that for cabs, but the ordinance doesn't include limos. So they're now, the city council and everybody, or the city of Houston, are now looking for to try and include limos. I will say that when I came home with my puppy Wicker in November of 2000 or October 2004, the first thing I did, because at school they said, you know, when you get off the plane or get ready to get on the plane or something, you know, always make sure your dog's been relieved and whatever. And we've had a fairly long flight, so the first thing I said to the meet and assist person was, could she show me where the dog relieving area at Bush Intercontinental Airport? And she didn't even have a clue what I was talking about. So we found a supervisor, and he still didn't know. So I contacted the city of Houston, and it didn't take very long, but we do now have official dog relieving areas at Bush Intercontinental Airport, and meet and assist people know what that phrase is. It's so you can have someone show you where it's at.
Now, Carol, I have a question for you because I just did a training. I partnered up with Guide Dogs for the Blind and did a training here in Seattle for the TSA people at the airport on how to quote unquote process, that's their word, not mine, blind people with guide dogs. And the guide dog relief area, much to my dismay, the guide dog relief area or the animal relief area is outside of the security boundary. And so if you've got an hour to switch your flight, you've got to go like mad. You've got to go out of the airport, you know, go through the security thing, let your dog go, come back in and get processed all over again. And I'm curious if your relief areas are similarly located.
Now, they're outside the security. What my plan is now, you know, after, you know, it is settled in and people are used to it, what I would like to do in the future is try and even maybe have the Houston Texans sponsor a dog relieving area within the security area and show them how to build one similar to how they do at the conventions with the pine bark and whatever. And, I mean, that's what I asked them to do to start with, but that's not what I got to start with.
It's a real interesting dilemma because all airports are sort of their own little castles. They're not related to other ones, and so each one has to be approached individually.
Yes.
It's not like a chain of Sizzler restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a good
analogy. There people just go on and on about you know, trying to figure out something that's going to work for a lot of places. I think that one thing people kind of toss around, but I don't know who's really come up with anything good, is some kind of an artificial, techie way of relieving a dog inside of an airport, and that it could be something that could be manufactured and, you know, and sold to all the airports, sold as an idea and, you know, physically sold the equipment or whatever the setup would be. And I think people like the Japanese, you know, come up with all kinds of, technical things. And, I mean, people do things like put, you know, little contraptions on their dogs so that they can relieve in the bag. And I think, you know, as more and more people are traveling with pets, it's going to be one of those things, I think, where the disabled and the able-bodied people's needs kind of come together the way, you know, that mothers with strollers benefit from curb ramps. But with more and more people traveling with pets, there will be more pressure than just from us.
Well, and we've got to wrap this up. And, Carol, now I hope you'll call my show again. You see, you survived.
Yeah, was it hard?
I'm such a shy person. I don't do it very often, but I did want to
You don't even sound shy. You sound very
Oh, you sound wonderful.
Yeah.
You sound
kind of teasing y'all. I don't think I am, but I say I am.
I don't think you are either. I was sort of wondering, now, where's that coming from?
Yeah, I mean, you fixed the airport. That's not something that you do very often.
We're still going to be working with Carl, but we really haven't enjoyed it. Do you have 1 minute for me to tell you one funny story from the airport with Wicker?
Okay, real quick.
Okay, when I first got her, a couple of months later, I went to the ACB seminar up in Washington, and my husband went with me, and when we were getting ready to go, we went through security, and of course she beeped, and they're very serious, you know, how the security people are. They said, "What is she?" And I said, "Oh, you know, she's a lab Golden Cross," and then they go, "No, male or female?" I said, "Oh, she's a female," and I thought they were going to ooh and ah about how pretty she was. They got a female
security. Oh, please. Oh, my gosh. Hey, Carol, I'll see you in Minneapolis.
Okay, take care, y'all.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Carol.
Sheila, it has been a joy to have you join me, and let's make sure we don't miss again next year.
We'll do it next year. Won't skip.
And before you go, why don't you give the GDUI website and phone number?
All right. You can call our GDUI toll-free number at 888-858-1008 or you can visit us on the web at www.gdui.org.
And we will go out with Sheila's very own beautiful tribute to GDUI, Harness in Hand. Thanks,
Thank
Sheila.
Thank you, Marlena.
A dog hears a command. They move not as two, but as one. Down a road that's getting better, with all the working teams throughout the land. And we've just begun. GDUI, 30 years harness in hand.
GDUI,
helping the world to understand the meaning of guide dogs in all of our lives. GDUI. Upon a time ago, guide dogs weren't allowed. But look where they're welcome today. We've made it to Hawaii. Morris, Frank, and Buddy would be proud. Thanks for leading the way.
You're listening to Marlena at the mainstream of acbradio.org and WTNDLP Macomb 106.3 FM. All right, and we are now into our second hour. Our first hour went a little bit longer than an hour, but hey, you know, we'll blame it on the internet or something. I'm very, very excited about the guest who is joining us for a bit of the second hour as well, not only because it's someone that I've known for a really long time, although it took us a while to figure out who we were and that we actually knew each other one day, but once we got it figured out, we were pretty excited about it. But I'm also excited because I have been the honored recipient of an award from the American Council of the Blind.
You sure have.
I have, and that's the voice of Nola McKinney. Hey, Nola, welcome to the Marlena Show.
Thank you, Marlena. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I was so excited when you reminded me, and Nola did actually approach me last year, and in all the flurry and scurry, I'm always honest with my listeners. I forgot to get back to her, and I will never tell a lie. So she wasn't on last year due to my goof up, not her lack of interest. Nola, let's talk a little bit about you first so that folks kind of get to know.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, who you are and where you are. Let's start with where you are.
Well, I now live in Arkansas, about 15 miles south of Hot Springs. And I used to be known as, used to be known, I'm about as bad as you. I used to be known as Nola Webb.
Yeah.
When I first started working in ACB, I ran the children's program for a while and was active in Cindy's wonderful Council of Families with Visual Impairment.
Yes.
In fact, I'm the one who got there to have its affiliation with ACB.
Now, how long have you been in ACB?
Oh, I think since Knoxville, whenever that was.
Wow. Wow, that was...
I don't know. I think it was in the 80s sometime.
Yeah, well, let's see, I can't remember. I know.
I can't either, but I do remember it was Knoxville, Tennessee was my first convention, and I was supposed to go with my sister, but at the last minute she backed out for some reason which I can't remember, and so I took my courage in my guide dog's hands, my harness in hand, as your
song there you go
says.
There you go.
And I went on my own, and that was the first convention. I had a wonderful time, even though I was alone.
Well, so that's a very good point. What would you say to a listener who might be thinking, oh, gosh, I'd really like to go. Marlena's had all these cool programs about what's going to happen at convention, but I don't know anyone, and I'm afraid, and I'm not sure if I can do it. What would you say to that?
Well, you know, there's one wonderful thing about blind people. In general, I think, especially in ACB, everyone's so friendly.
I know.
And everyone, you know, accepts you for what you are and for who you are, and they don't care if you can have any sight at all. They don't care if you're skinny or fat or if you're blonde or brunette. They talk to you, and everybody talks to everybody else. The first time I went to a convention, I was standing in line to eat, dreading eating by myself, but knowing that I'd better eat something. And so I was standing in line at the restaurant, and of course, there you go. People start talking to you. Where
mm-hmm.
are you from? Who are you? And pretty soon you're invited to join them for dinner.
There you go. There you go. Now, let's talk about the awards committee, the whole awards process. Is it a committee?
Yes, it is. And I'm really proud of the committee because it has most of the people have been on it for years and years. And when I approach them on a yearly basis and say, hey, do you want to still be on the committee? Everyone says, oh, sure, it's fun. I want to be on it. So I do have a committee, and believe it or not, although people think Nola McKinney makes all these decisions, I do not. I let my committee work, and I really do. And they are Dawn Flewellen of South Dakota and Billie Jean Keith of Virginia and Lynn Coral of Anchorage, Alaska, and Edwin Ewell of Las Vegas, and Pat Sheehan of Maryland.
Oh, that's a great committee.
Yes, it is. And I've got two board members on it, and not because they're board members, just because they're good friends and they wanted to be on it.
Oh, that's a great committee. So what is the, well, first of all, how many awards does the committee work with?
Well, it does, it varies from year to year. We usually always give, we try to always give as many as we can, but sometimes we don't have someone who fits a certain criteria. So then we don't worry about it. We try to always give the Durwood K. McDaniel Award, and we try to give the George Card Award, and we try, often we don't have someone for the Robert Bray Award because that, as you know, is a concern in the media.
Yes, yes.
Whether it be library, television, or any type of media criteria. So sometimes we don't get that. But the another award that is really wonderful to give, and I get such a bang out of, is the James Olson Award, which used to be the Distinguished Service Award.
Yes.
But after Jim's death, it was my idea to change that to the James Olson Award, and Chris Gray thought it was a great idea, and so we did that. By the time I gave the first one to Mrs. Olson, we were all in tears.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that very, very well. It was very, very moving. What, let's go back and talk about the Durwood K. McDaniel Award. Let's explain
sure.
to folks, what is that award?
Okay. The Durwood K. McDaniel Award is, what we call the Ambassador Award. If you remember Durwood McDaniel, I don't know whether you do, but he
Oh, gosh,
he
of
was,
course I do. I worked with him in the national office.
There you are. He was an ambassador all by himself. And so we call that the Ambassador Award. And that is given for, it's one of our most popular awards. People all over do want it. And it's given to, in recognition of, a blind person who, may or may not be a part of our organization, but who has really spent their life, integrating with the community.
All right. And what about the George Card Award? Let's talk about that one next.
Okay. Where did I find it here? Oh, yes. The George Card Award is given to an individual who has actually done some dedication in his or her life to working for the blind, for blind people, to making a real difference in the quality of life of blind people.
Well, I have to digress a minute and say that I was so touched to have been given that award. And, certainly, I think any of our awards are meaningful and special, but that particular award was extraordinarily special to me because, and I often say to Gary, if I die tomorrow, the one thing I hope is that I will have somehow made a difference. And I've always said that. So when you phoned me that day, where was I? I was at some hotel.
I don't know. I caught you on your cell phone.
You got me on my cell phone. And I was
You were out of town somewhere helping someone.
I was doing something.
Yes, you were.
And I was in some public place and I couldn't react the way I wanted to react, but I just, oh my gosh, it just overwhelmed me.
Well, it's a funny thing, really and truly, with you working on the radio, the Robert S. Bray Award would have probably been as well as the George Card.
Yeah.
But the reason you got the George Card Award was because we had a lot of letters from people who you have touched their lives individually, who you've helped individually. And that's so... Well, it was wonderful, and we felt you sure deserved it.
It was really cool.
We think you're cool.
I've never won an award. I'll probably never win another one in my life. But I'll tell you what, this is a cherished thing for me.
You don't know when you'll get an award, my dear.
Yeah, that's true. You never know, but
I
remember being in Las Vegas and I was so sick that year with asthma, and Gary kept saying, "We've got to take you home." I said, "No, I'm getting an award on Friday. I am not going home."
And that was the time poor Chris didn't know when to put, we've had problems with knowing when to put these awards in. We used to do them on Sunday night.
Yes.
But Sunday became endless. And half the time we were losing our audience.
Yes.
And people were walking out, let's be honest here.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we all talked about this, and Chris said, well, let's divide it. Do some of them on Monday and some of them on Friday. And you, poor darling, had to wait until Friday to get yours, along with Brenda Dillon.
Oh, I will never forget that week. I will never, never forget it. And it was just, I spent a lot of time in bed in Las Vegas. I didn't do a lot in Las Vegas because I was going to be there for Friday night. I figured it's the first one I've ever gotten. I ain't going to miss it.
I hope it's up on your wall.
Oh, it is indeed. It is indeed. Let me let you go down some of the other lists, some of the other awards, so that folks know kind of the wide scope of our awards program.
Well, we talked about the James A. Olson Award. Now, that award is usually given to someone for a distinguished service, and it doesn't have to be a blind person. And it's often, in fact, a sighted person. And I'm sure this year we'll have as many nominations for it. And, of course, I don't have anything to do with the Affiliate Award, and that's because the Affiliate Growth Award is given to... because of a number, the most new people.
Yes.
That an affiliate has gotten. So that is the one award. There's never a question about it, except I have to be sure that the numbers are correct. And then there's the Affiliate Outreach Award. Now, this is an award that we don't give every year. It's based on a recommendation in an affiliate. For example, if a state affiliate has a local affiliate that has done some special type of work that has really made a difference, then they receive that award.
Oh, I see. I see. So an affiliate would send in
a recommendation. Or a nomination.
I see.
For
I
a
see.
Particular person or a particular local affiliate.
I see.
You live in Washington?
Yes.
Yeah. So if Cindy, who is the president,
yes,
recommended you for a particular job that you did in your local affiliate.
I see.
Or
I see.
Your whole local affiliate did a remarkable Good Samaritan type thing, that would really be great for ACB.
I see. Yeah, because that's one that I don't see every year.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
Now, we gave it to the school in Chicago, to the Bradley School,
mm-hmm.
for all of its work that it's been doing, and it has a local group that helps blind people who are attending the school, And so they had recommended that we do so, and we did that last year, and it was so well received, and it was a thrill to do that. But that isn't always given.
Are there other awards?
No, not for me. There are other awards, but those are the only ones that I take care of. The other awards are given by the Board of Publications.
Ah, sure, sure. Well, I tell you, I remember Las Vegas so well because not only did I receive my award there, but then Gary bought me a lifetime membership, which I didn't know about. And I'll never forget because Chris, went through all the lifetime memberships and Washington, I think we purchased two or maybe three, I can't remember, for different members. And
yes.
So, you know, we're just sitting there. And
that is a thrill.
And then all of a sudden,
I remember when my sister got hers from Ohio, and she was in tears with joy.
Well, all of a sudden, Chris said, now there's one more from Washington. And I turned around and I looked at Cindy. I said, what's he talking about? She said, I don't know. And then I turned back and Chris was saying, if you listen to ACB radio, and literally my heart stopped. That was a great convention
for
me.
We like to surprise people, don't we?
Yes, we do. Well, now, is it too late for people to make recommendations?
I'm afraid so.
Okay.
Actually, we're running a little behind this year. Everybody got in, we had about 11 application or nomination.
Wow.
Which we're really pleased with. And how we do this is that everybody sends it to the national office,
mm-hmm.
and then Sharon is kind enough to put it on cassette tape for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And we make copies for everyone on the committee, and they go out by mail. I give the committee about a week. I warn the committee by phone, telling them to expect it, and then I give them about a week to listen to it, make up their minds, and then we have a telephone conference call. This year, unfortunately, we had a little trouble with the tape, and one side didn't tape, so we had to do the taping over again. Therefore,
yeah.
They went out a little late, and I have not even received mine yet. So as soon as we do, why, it is a rush because the plaques have to be made, and everybody who gets one gets a plaque with their name on it. So,
and the plaques are beautiful. They are. Now, mine is in the shape of the state of Nevada. Do we always do them in the shape?
No, we don't. We just did that because we felt it was so special to go to Las Vegas. If you know, we've been kind of wanting to go there.
Yeah, that's very cool. I don't mean the name of the business necessarily, but how do those plaques get made? Where do they get made?
Well, there are certain places that is their job, and we always try to get the best price, of course, and the best ones. They have to be, you know, there's some people who do Braille printing on plaques with little beads, and then there's others who do it a different way, and ours are done so that they are going to last. And so they do cost money, but we feel it's well worth it.
Yeah, it's really nice, and the Braille is very, very beautifully done. And
yes.
I commend you. Well, now, if people want to submit an award nomination for next year.
Well, you know, this is the time, in a way, it's so apropos. It's before we go to convention,
mm-hmm.
and when you're at convention, to kind of look around and see who really impressed you and who you really admire. There's always someone who stands out, and who, he doesn't have to be the president of an affiliate. He doesn't have to be a certain person. It could be the person who who shows you to your seat or helps you find your state, or the person who helps you if you have a problem. And this is the person we want you to consider nominating, someone who maybe does a little more than the average, someone who stands out in your memory. And that is the person you will be so proud as you sit there to know that your letter has been chosen, and that person will get an award.
And if people do want to submit, they should send their nominations to the national office. Is that right?
Yes. You must send your nomination letter to the national office and write it to the awards committee. And then Patricia will put them aside and keep them in one place, and then we'll, as I said, tape them and send them out to the committee. And you will find out who gets them on Monday of the convention.
Oh, this year. Monday.
Monday.
Wow. I wish it had been Monday in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Maybe you'd have been able to make it. No, you'd have been sick.
Oh, my
gosh.
You
weren't feeling good.
No. Well, I have asthma, and that's a real problem.
I do know.
Yeah, that's a real
that's
problem.
That's okay. My daughter had it, too.
Well, let me just let folks know that before we let Nola go, the line is open, 866-666-7926, although Nola did such a wonderful job of covering the awards program. I can't.
Well, one thing you didn't talk to me
yeah.
about, and that's my affiliate that I'm president of.
Oh, well, let's talk about that.
And that's AAVL.
Of course. All right, let's talk about that, and let's tell folks what AAVL stands for.
Well, AAVL is the Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss, and it's for people. Well, we say for people who are young at heart and over 50.
I'm in that category.
Unfortunately, so
yes,
am I.
Yes, yes.
And at any rate, people are very shocked at our affiliate because they say they have more fun with us than they have with some of the others because we are just a crazy bunch of people who enjoy being together and enjoy each other. Especially our wine and cheese is a wonderful time to let your hair down and relax and do a sing-along. George Corey from Cincinnati plays the piano for us, and we always have a great turnout. Plus, we have our drawing of cash prizes at that particular event.
Ooh, that's a good thing.
On Monday, guess what?
Yes.
We're going to have our luncheon, and that's at 12:30 on Monday. And who is our speaker but John Dashney, the wonderful storyteller.
Oh, my gosh, that's great.
I mean, who could turn down a wonderful story of a program of a good lunch and a great storyteller?
Oh, my gosh, John Dashney. Wow.
Yes, indeed.
You know, I haven't heard anything from John Dashney in a while.
That's because he's been so busy writing books
wow.
and going around the country.
How
I mean, we are really
cool.
fortunate to have him. We really are. Other people pay quite a fee to have him speak.
Wow. That's
all we're doing is giving him food.
That's wonderful. Good grief. Wow. That's a coup.
Yes,
so
it is.
Are there other program items for
oh,
your affiliate?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Oh, tell us about them.
On Wednesday, guess what the program is?
I can't guess.
Who shall I marry? Now, if that isn't an opener, what is?
I'd watch out.
And that is, should you marry someone blind or should you marry someone sighted?
Oh.
And we're going to have representatives from both kinds of marriages to give their pros and cons. Plus, we have our own traveling mic, which will pick up all your little comments. So come and tell us how you feel.
That's great. That's
then
great.
Then on Thursday,
yes.
On Thursday, our subject is the depression of aging.
Ooh.
And we're going to cover that from a sociological as well as a psychological viewpoint. Because we're joining with the new affiliate, Jesse Rail.
I'm blanking on the name.
Yes, and these are a brand new affiliate, and Jesse is a clinical psychologist and has her own practice, or joined with another gentleman, but she is a partner in the practice, and she does do that kind of work all the time. And I used to be a sociologist before, I am a social worker before I retired. So she and I will be going over this subject, and boy, we sure want to know how you feel. And we hope to get everybody laughing.
Well, I think that's a fabulous topic, because particularly with I think particularly with respect to people with vision loss, because
yes.
I think life gets harder. Now, I don't mean harder to the point where, oh, it's a drudgery, but I think as we age, as blind people, it's flat harder to do some things.
It's flat harder to do something as you get older.
Well,
and then with blindness on top of it.
Right. And, particularly, like, I have some hearing loss.
Yeah.
And now, if I were sighted, I probably wouldn't be as aware of that hearing loss as I am since I'm blind, because to me,
it really gets
me. Yeah, yeah. And
I know I'm suffering the same thing,
and it's depressing. You know, it's
well, you know. Then too, we have all these people, all these baby boomers who are losing sight due to macular degeneration.
That's right,
and they talk about depressed. I mean, they really get depressed because they have lost so much. They can't play cards as they used to. They can't knit and sew as they used to. And I have one lady who is upset because she can't read the racing form, believe it or not. So it really is not just a subject for us who are blind for a long time, but for those who are just getting blind. So it's something that everybody's facing. Aging is something everybody has to go through.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
So it's kind of nice to be able to look at it, take it out, look at it, and maybe find some answers.
Well,
and that's what we're going to do.
Well, that sounds fascinating.
So I invite everyone who is interested to any of our programs, please come. You don't have to be a member to join in and enjoy the program. We'd like you to be a member, of course. And we have, as I think, the best newsletter. It's written by Bill Lewis, who is a fabulous writer. Plus, he is a guy with a sense of humor that you would not believe. And he writes, helps us with, he does our newsletter for us, and it's called The Hourglass.
Oh.
And it is more almost a magazine. It's so great. And there's always a humorous column that Bill writes in it, which will kind of make you smile. And then there are some interesting subjects. For example, there's one this month, or this time, on retinitis pigmentosa, which I happen to, that happens to be the cause of my blindness. And it was really interesting to read it because he took it from another magazine, but it was really great.
Well, that sounds very exciting. Now, if folks would like to get a hold of you, can you give out your email address?
I sure can, and it's Nola, N-O-L-A, M, for McKinney, M, Nola M, small letters, at earthlink.net. So it's real easy.
It is easy. even I can remember that. Nola M at earthlink.net.
That's right.
If folks want to contact the national office to find out how they want the awards, the award nominations addressed, you can call the national office toll free at 800-424-8666. And I'm sure that Sharon will be delighted to tell you how she wants it addressed or whether it needs to say attention awards or whatever, just so that it gets where it's going.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, and let's make a date again next year.
Well, that's a promise, my dear.
All right, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in Minneapolis.
I'll see you at the convention.
I'll see you in Minneapolis, baby.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Nola. Bye-bye. Oh, isn't she great? That's Nola Webb and, Nola McKinney. Oh, gosh, smack my mouth. Oh, gosh. Those of us who have had many iterations of names, you know, you just can't keep up with us. Nola McKinney, who is the chair of the ACB Awards Committee. I'm Marlena, and it's about 38 minutes past the hour. And I'll be right back. Hi, this is Marlena. Have you been listening to ACB Radio for a while and wonder how you can help? Well, there's a Donate to ACB Radio link now available from the main page at www.acbradio.org. And thank you so much for listening to ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. You betcha. Your listening is our business. The phones are open. That's your business. 866-666-7926 is the phone number. I'd love to hear from you. We've got, 20 minutes, give or take, to yak and chat and talk about whatever the heck you would like to talk about here on the open forum portion of the Marlena program. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm really looking forward to convention this year. I tell you, it's just every year I think, oh, I can't look forward to it any more than I did last year. And every year I look more forward to it. It's just a fabulous experience. Let me let you know that next week, my dear friend, someone whom I love very deeply as my friend and who I just respect to the end of the earth with his knowledge and his willingness to help people, Jeff Bishop, Dr. Bishop, as I call him, will be sitting in for me. And, oh, he's going to get to interview another good friend of mine. Oh, gosh. I get so excited. I'm getting all choked up here. Nancy Pendergraf, who is with Friends in Art. And Nancy is going to come on, and she's going to talk about all the cool stuff that Friends in Art are doing this year. Now, of course, you know, if you've listened to convention or you've been to convention, you know that Friends in Art has this fabulous showcase every year. And the showcase can be musicians, it can be storytellers, whatever your art form is. And of course, ACB Radio will be broadcasting that showcase. But Friends in Art does a lot more than just the showcase. They have had fiber art workshops and, oh my gosh. So I don't know what they're doing at convention this year. But I do know that Jeff Bishop, goodness gracious, oh, hello there, Jeff Bishop will be interviewing them, and I don't know where that sound came from. Oh, dear. So Jeff Bishop will be interviewing Nancy Pendergraf, who became my friend when I lived in Alabama. Nancy lives in Huntsville, Alabama, and she is just one whale of a talented person. And as a matter of fact, maybe I can find something in my... here it is. Let's just take a listen to an excerpt from a showcase. Gosh, I don't remember what year it was. It was some number of years ago. This is Nancy, Nancy Pendergraf on the piano, Lynn Heddle singing the words to the song that she wrote. And I think that it really stole the showcase heart. Let's take a listen.
You might think this has to do with computers, but then again, you might not.
There goes Nancy.
Well, now I'm typing on your keyboard. Ain't nothing showing on your screen. Hey, hey, I'm typing on your keyboard, baby. But ain't nothing showing on your screen. Why won't you tell me nothing? Why do you have to be so mean? Well, now the first time I saw you, you really spun my drive with your slim, trim CPU and your extra slots inside. You said you ran at high speed and your turbo wouldn't quit. So I brought you home right off the shelf. And darling, here we sit, and I am typing on your keyboard. Ain't nothing showing on your screen. Yeah. You won't give me no access, darling. It just beats anything I've ever seen. Now, I got some real fine programs that you and I could run. And we could cruise that internet, have lots of online fun. You got the right connections, good cables, wires, and jacks. But you don't like my modem, and you never want a fax. I'm typing on your keyboard. Ain't nothing showing on your screen. You won't display your display, darling. You know you treat me awful mean. Reformat that thing, Nance. Interact. refuse. If I don't find your C-prop, darling, my poor fragmented mind, I think I'll lose. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's Lynn Heddle and Nancy Pendergraf, and that's just an example of what that showcase can be like. Hey, we have a caller. Let's bring them on. Whoops, let's bring them on in and fix my headset and do all kinds of things here. Hi there, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
It's Bill Hogue, Marlena.
Hey, Bill Hogue, how are you?
I'm doing great. If I could get rid of this cold, I'd be doing better.
Well, I wish you would get rid of it.
But anyway, the reason I called is I want to thank ACME, excuse me, for providing the first-timer award. I applied for it. I did not receive first-timer award, but hey, I don't feel bad about not winning it. But, you know, I just want to thank them for having and giving me the opportunity.
Well, that's great, and that is a nice award, that's for sure. And That's very thoughtful of you, Mr. Hogue. Now get rid of that cold.
Well, I will. I have not canceled my reservations yet. My wife just got out of the hospital. Hers was turned in pneumonia, so.
Holy moly.
Our hopes are to still go to Minneapolis, you know, but we'll see.
Well, I hope you make it as well, and even if you have to take it easy like I had to do in Las Vegas, it's well worth the trip, and besides, if you cancel your reservations, the airline will ding you.
Well, I'm actually going on a train if I go.
Oh, are you? Are you going on the train? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I've heard of a couple of people that are planning on going on a train.
Yeah, from Washington, yeah.
Yeah.
Quite a contingent.
And I was really lucky. I made my reservation actually the first day that I was able to make the reservation going to Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And I got some really good fares, so.
Great.
Anyway, you know, I'll lose a little money if I have to cancel it, but oh well.
Well, you just get feeling better and you won't have to cancel it.
Hey, we will talk to you again and I'll catch up with you someplace.
All right, sir.
Minneapolis or Spokane or wherever.
All right, sir. Well, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, Marlene.
Okay, Bill. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. That's my friend Bill Hogue. He has a guide dog named Dondi. I like that name. Dondi. Oh, my gosh. So, continuing on with what Jeff Bishop will be bringing. Well, we're not going to do that. We're going to answer this phone call. Hi, this is Marlena. Who's this?
Marlena, this is Phil Jones from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey there, Phil. How are you?
I am just fine. And, you know, you played that clip from I think it was the 1995 showcase.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm telling you, the showcase for me every year is one of the highlights of the convention.
Isn't it fun?
I go to it every year, and I am looking forward to this year's convention just as much as you are. And I want to promise you that I will try to find you while there. I met you, I think, in 2003 when you were demonstrating a Braille note.
Then right.
I saw you in Birmingham the next year when you were kind of running the ACV radio broadcast in the exhibit area.
Right.
I'll certainly try to find you again, that's for sure.
Well, I hope so. And listen in next Sunday because Nancy's going to be on with Jeff and she's going to tell all about the FIA doings this year.
I am looking forward to that. And I'll tell you, last year, a couple of my very dear friends from my local affiliate were with me. They were there for the first time, and they went to the showcase, and it just blew them away. I'm telling you that. I told them, look, that's everything I it is, folks, and then it really got into it.
Yeah, it's a great time.
It's going to be a great convention. I'm almost there. The only thing I have to do now is make my airline reservation, and I'll be doing it in the next few days, and then I'm just I just have to wait after that.
That's right. That's right. Well, then you can start thinking about what you're going to put in your suitcase. See, that's what I do. You know,
yeah.
First I make the hotel reservation. Okay, that's done.
Cool.
Then I wait, and then I make an airline reservation. Okay, that's done. Then I start thinking, now what am I going to take? What am I going to wear? What am I going to do? And what, you know. So
okay.
That's where I am now. I'm in the what am I gonna?
Okay, well, thank you very much for a good show this evening, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in a few weeks.
Oh, well, bless your heart. I'm looking forward to seeing you too, Phil.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
866-666-7926. We might fit in one more caller if it happens pretty quickly. Quickly, quickly, quickly. I like that clicker training workshop Sheila was talking about. Click on this. Yeah, or click this, baby. That clicker really is a wonderful training aid. Oh, we got our call. Let's bring him in. Hi, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hello, Marlena. It's Chrissy.
Hello, Chrissy.
Hello. I just thought I'd bring in and talk perhaps a little about the Africa Forum I've just been to.
Oh, that would be lovely. Let's do about 5 minutes.
Yeah, sure, oh, absolutely.
But you know what? Before you do that, let me just finish one more thing, and then I'll give you that 5 minutes. The week following Nancy on the Marlena Show, which will be the first Sunday of June, Jeff Bishop will be with Lynn Corral, who is going to talk about the Braille Revival League, BRL. And Lynn is just an excellent spokesperson for Braille and for BRL in particular, so make sure that you listen to Dr. Bishop while I'm away those 2 weeks. Then when I come back on the 10th of June or the 11th, I will be with Butch Arnold from BFLAG, Blind Friends of Lesbians and Gays. And in the second hour, I'll have Brenda Dillon, who's going to talk about the ACV auction. All right, Miss Chrissy, go for it. Tell us about the Africa Forum.
Okay. Well, about 6 weeks ago, Chris Gray asked me if I would attend the Africa Forum. Now, I'd never heard of the Africa Forum, but anyway, it is a forum set up for blind people in Africa, and it's run in conjunction with the Hilton Perkins School for the Blind and also Sight Savers from the UK. So I said, yeah, okay, could we stream it? Well, as it happens, we couldn't, but that's another story altogether. That's a technical thing, but the thing is that we have just started ACB Radio World, which is a new stream. I'll get that plug in while I'm here.
I knew you would.
And you're on it, by the way, at the moment.
Hey!
But anyway, so I went out to Nairobi to do the Africa Forum, and it was absolutely fascinating. The enthusiasm that people have for getting things done in Africa is absolutely amazing. Both on the technological side and in general mobility and all sorts of things like that. I spoke with Dr. Aubrey Webson, who's their chief consultant, who's working with Perkins at the moment, and he has coordinated this. It's the third Africa Forum. The first one had about 80 people attending. The second one had about 170 or so, and this one had 310.
Wow.
Now, we heard some amazing stories of what's going on, both in Nairobi itself, the Kenya Blind Union, in South Africa, and some heartrending stories of what's going on in Somalia, which, of course, is racked by war. But, you know, there are blind people there, and when you couple that with wartime, it's absolutely incredible. And what I'm hoping to do, just to let people know that I'm hoping next Saturday, time to be announced, I will be doing on ACB Radio World a report from Africa, which will consist of some interviews that I got while I was there, which haven't gone out on ACB World yet. We did run the whole of the forum last week and a couple of days we couldn't stream it, so we were a couple of days behind the week before, but I had so many people asking for it to be rerun that we ran it last week, and I hope some people may have heard it, because what is being done there is a lesson to us all, actually, in sheer enthusiasm. They may not have the developmental technology and what have you, but it is, the enthusiasm is amazing. And one of the things that really went down well is that Dolphin Systems have brought out what they call the Dolphin Pen. Now, I'm sure many of you have come across this sort of thing before. It's a little drive that you can plug into a USB socket, and you can use screen reader software or magnification software on virtually any machine. And this has gone down an absolute storm in Africa, because they've pared it down so it's quite cheap, which is great, because there is not a lot of money floating around in Africa at the moment. And people can get this device, go to their, be it library or whatever, and access the computers. Now, this is helping. The whole technology thing is speeding the development of blind education, blind training, and more to the point, blind people working in Africa. It is speeding it up no end.
Well, I think that's fascinating, and I will very much look forward to the report from Africa, and please make sure that Dr. Bishop knows that it, if it's going to replay, when it will replay, and I'm sure that he would like to announce that as well on his program. And I wish you'd gotten in a little earlier, because I would have loved to have given you more than the 5 or so minutes you got, but when I get back, maybe we can actually take an hour and really talk about this. I think it's very well worth hearing about.
I think it'd be a good idea, Marlene, and we could also play some of the interviews as well.
Yeah.
That I got from the president of Perkins, from Dr. Webson, and from the president of the World Blind Union as well.
All right. Well, you hear the music.
Yeah, I gotta go. So have you.
You wrote the music.
I know. I'm sorry about that.
I appreciate having this as my theme song. It's called Marlena. Chrissy wrote it for me. And I want to thank everyone for listening tonight, and thank Chrissy for calling. And I'll talk to you when I get back, Miss Chrissy.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Don't forget to tune in next week for Jeff Bishop and Nancy Pendergraph and whomever Jeff may have in his second hour. And then on June 3rd or 4th, depends which day you're in, but the following week, Jeff will have Lynn Correll from the BRL, Braille Revival League, on the 10th or the 11th, depending which time zone you are. I will have Butch Arnold with B-Flag and Brenda Dillon. Hey, I'm Marlena. It's been a joy to be with you. Stay safe. Please be happy. And I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Thanks to the team that makes this all possible, the great web team of Jeff and Daryl in Arizona, Chrissy over in the UK, and my favorite team member, Gary the Board Guy, in the other room. See you soon.